Chapter 11. The fighting bull is to the domestic bull as the wolf is to the dog. A domestic bull may be evil-tempered and vicious, as a dog may be mean and dangerous, but he will never have the speed, the quality of muscle and sinew, and the peculiar build of the fighting bull any more than the dog will have the sinews of the wolf, his cunning and his width of jaw. Bulls for the ring are wild animals. They are bred from strain that comes down in direct descent from the wild bulls that ranged over the peninsula, and they are bred on ranches with thousands of acres of range where they live as free-ranging animals. The contacts with men of the bulls that are to appear in the ring are held to the absolute minimum. The physical characteristics of the fighting bull are its thick and very strong hide with glossy pelt, small head but wide forehead, strength and shape of horns, which curve forward, short, thick neck with the great hump of muscle which erects when the bull is angry, wide shoulders, very small hooves, and length and slenderness of tail. The female of the fighting bull is not as heavily built as the male, has a smaller head, shorter and thinner horns, a longer neck, a less pronounced dewlap under the jaw, is not as wide through the chest, and has no visible udder. I have frequently seen these cows in the ring in the amateur fights in Pamplona, charging like bulls, tossing the amateurs about, and they were invariably spoken of by the visiting foreigners as steers, since they showed no visible signs of their cowhood and gave no evidence of femininity. It is in the female of the fighting bull that you see most plainly the difference between the savage and domestic animal. One of the things one hears oftenest about bullfighting is the statement that a cow is much more dangerous when charging than a bull, as the bull shuts his eyes while a cow keeps hers open. I do not know who started this, but there is no truth in it. The females that are used in amateur fights almost invariably make for the man rather than the cape, cut in on him rather than charge straight, and will often single out one particular man or boy and pursue him through a crowd of half a hundred. But they do this not because of any innate superior intelligence in the female, as Virginia Woolf might suppose, but because female calves, since they are never to appear in the ring in normal fights, and since there is no objection to their becoming completely educated in all the phases of bullfighting, are used exclusively for the bullfighters to train on with cape and muleta. Either a bull calf or a cow calf, if passed a few times with cape or muleta, learns all about it, remembers, and if it is a bull, becomes consequently useless for a formal bullfight where everything is built on the basis of this being the bull's first encounter with a dismounted man. If the bull is unfamiliar with the cape or muleta and charges straight, the man can create the danger himself by working as close to the bull's charge as possible, and will be able to attempt a variety of passes, selecting them himself and arranging them in an emotional sequence rather than being forced into them as defensive measures. If the bull has been fought before, he will cut in constantly on the man, will chop with his horns into the cloth looking for the man, and will create all the danger himself, putting the man constantly in retreat and on the defensive, and making any clarity of passes or brilliance of fight impossible. The bullfight has been so developed and organized that the bull has just time enough, coming into the ring completely unfamiliar with dismounted men, to learn to distrust all their artifices and reach the summit of his danger at the moment of killing. The bull learns so rapidly in the ring that if the bullfight drags, is badly done, or is prolonged an extra 10 minutes, he becomes almost unkillable by the means prescribed in the rules of the spectacle. It is for this reason that bullfighters always practice and train with female calves, which, after a few sessions, become so educated, the fighters say, that they can talk Greek and Latin. After this education, they are released in the ring for the amateurs, sometimes with naked horns, sometimes with the points covered with a leather ball. They come in as fast and lithe as deer to practice on the amateur capemen and aspirant bullfighters of all sorts in the capeas, to toss, rip, gore, pursue, and inspire with terror these amateurs until, when the vacas tire, Steers are led into the ring to take them out to rest in the corrals until their next appearance. The fighting cows, or vaquillas, seem to enjoy these appearances. They are not goaded, no divisa is placed in their shoulders, they are not irritated to make them charge, and they seem to enjoy charging and tossing as much as a fighting cock does fighting. Of course, they receive no punishment, while the bull's bravery is judged by the manner in which he behaves under punishment. The maneuvering of fighting bulls is made possible by the operation of the herd instinct, which makes it possible to drive bulls in groups of six or more, where one bull, if detached from the herd, will charge instantly and repeatedly anything, man, horse, or any moving object, vehicle, or otherwise, until he is killed. And by the use of trained steers or cabestros to herd and decoy the fighting bulls as wild elephants are caught and herded by elephants which have been tamed. It is one of the most interesting of all phases of bullfighting to see the steers work in the operations of loading, separating, putting the bulls into the runways that lead to the shipping cages, and in all the many operations connected with the raising, transporting, and unloading of fighting bulls. In the old days, before they were shipped in their cages by railroad, or now, since the building of good roads in Spain, sometimes in motor trucks, an excellent and much less fatiguing way, bulls were driven along the roads in Spain, the fighting bulls surrounded by steers, and the whole herd guarded by the mounted herders carrying their protective lances, much like those the picadors use, raising a cloud of dust as they moved, and sending the inhabitants of villages running into their houses to slam and lock doors and look through the windows at the wide, dusty backs, the great horns, the quick eyes and damp muzzles, the belled necks of the cabestros, and the short jackets, brown faces, and wide, high-crowned gray hats of the herdsmen moving along through the street. When they are together moving in the herd, they are quiet, because the feeling of numbers gives them confidence, and the herd instinct makes them follow the leader. Bulls are still driven in that way in the provinces, away from the railways, and occasionally one will desmandar, or unherd. One year when we were in Spain, this happened before the last house of a little village outside Valencia. The bull stumbled and went to his knees, and the others were past when he got to his feet. The first thing he saw was an open door with a man standing in it. He charged at once, lifted the man clear out of the door, and swung him back over his head. Inside the house he saw no one and went straight through. In the bedroom, a woman sat in a rocking chair. She was old and had not heard the commotion. The bull demolished the chair and killed the old woman. The man who had been tossed in the doorway came in with a shotgun to protect his wife, who was already lying where the bull had tossed her into a corner of the room. He fired point-blank at the bull, but only tore up his shoulder. The bull caught the man, killed him, saw a mirror, charged and smashed a tall, old-fashioned armoire, and then went out into the street. He went a little way down the road, met a horse and cart, charged and killed the horse, and overturned the cart. The driver stayed inside it. The herders by this time were coming back down the road, their galloping horses raising a great dust. They drove out two steers that picked the bull up, and as soon as there was a steer on each side of him, his crest lowered, he dropped his head and trotted between the two steers back to the herd. Bulls in Spain have been known to charge a motor car and even, getting onto the tracks, to stop a train, refusing to back up or leave the track when the train stopped, and when, with much blowing of the whistle, the train finally advanced, charging the engine blindly. A really brave fighting bull is afraid of nothing on earth, and in various towns in Spain, in special and barbarous exhibitions, a bull has charged an elephant repeatedly. Bulls have killed both lions and tigers, charging these animals as blithely as they go for picadors. A true fighting bull fears nothing, and to me is the finest of all animals to watch in action and repose. From a standing start, a fighting bull will outrun a horse for 25 yards, although a horse will beat him in 50 yards. The bull can turn on his feet almost as a cat does. He can turn much quicker than a polo pony, and at 4 years he has the strength in his neck and shoulder muscles to lift a horse and rider and throw them over his back. Many times I have seen a bull attack the inch-thick wooden planks of the barrera with his horns, or horn, rather, for he uses either the one or the other, and splinter the planks into bits. And there is, in the Bullring Museum at Valencia, a heavy iron stirrup that a bull from the ranch of Don Esteban Hernandez perforated with a horn stroke to the depth of 4 inches. This stirrup is preserved not because it is unique for having the horn driven through it, but because of the fact that on this occasion the picador was miraculously not wounded by the horn stroke. There is a book, now out of print in Spain, called Toros Celebres, which chronicles, alphabetically by the names the breeders gave them, the manner of dying and feats of some 322 pages of celebrated bulls. At random, you can take Hechicero, or the Wizard, from the ranch of Concha and Sierra, a gray bull fought in Cadiz in 1844, who sent to the hospital all the picadors of all the matadors of the fight, a minimum of 7 men, in addition to killing 7 horses. Bibora, or the Viper, from the ranch of Don Jose Bueno, a black bull, fought at Vista Alegre the 9th of August, 1908. As he came into the ring, jumped the barrera and gored the bull ring carpenter, Luis Gonzalez, giving him an enormous wound in the right thigh. The matador charged to kill Bibora was unable to do so, and he was returned to the corrals. That is not the sort of case which would be long remembered, except perhaps by the carpenter, and Bibora was probably included in the book more because of the timeliness of his action and the recent impression he had made on possible buyers of the book than for any permanent motive. There is no record of what the matador named Jaqueta, whose only appearance in history is this one action, went through before he was declared unable to kill Bibora, and the bull may have been more memorable for more than the not exceptional goring of the carpenter. I've seen 2 carpenters gored myself and have never written a line about it. The bull Zaragoza, raised by the Lacy Reyes ranch while being taken to the ring at Moetia, Portugal, on the 2nd of October, 1898, broke out of his cage and pursued and wounded many people. He pursued a boy who ran into the town hall, and the bull, pursuing the boy, climbed the stairs to the first floor where, according to the book, he caused great destruction. He probably did. Comisario, of the ranch of Don Victoriano Ripamilan, a red bull with the eye of a partridge and wide horns, was the 3rd bull fought in Barcelona on the 14th of April, 1895. He jumped the barrera and got into the grandstand, and driving through the spectators, the book says, produced the imagined disorder and damage. The civil guard, Isidro Silva, drove his saber into him, and the corporal of the civil guards, Ubaldo Bigueres, shot at him with his carbine, the bullet passing through the neck muscles of the bull and lodging in the left breast of the bullring servant, Juan Recaseus, who died on the spot. Comisario was finally lassoed and killed with dagger strokes. None of these occurrences belong to the realm of pure bullfighting except the first. Nor does the case of Uran, a bull of the ranch of Don Antonio López Plata, which fought a Bengal tiger on the 24th of July, 1904, in the plaza of San Sebastian. They fought in a steel cage, and the bull whipped the tiger, but in one of his charges broke the cage apart, and the 2 animals came out into the ring in the midst of the spectators. The police, attempting to finish the dying tiger and the very live bull, fired several volleys which caused grave wounds to many spectators. From the history of these various encounters between bulls and other animals, I should say they were spectacles to stay away from, or at least to view from one of the higher boxes. The bull Oficial from the ranch of the Arribas brothers, fought in Cadiz the 5th of October, 1884, caught and gored a banderillero, jumped the barrera and gored the picador Chato 3 times, gored a civil guard, broke the leg and 3 ribs of a municipal guard, and the arm of a night watchman. He would have been an ideal animal to turn loose when the police are clubbing manifestants in front of the city hall. Had he not been killed, a strain of police-hating bulls might have been bred which would give the populace the advantage they lost in street fighting with the disappearance of the paving stone. A paving stone at short range is more effective than a club or saber. The disappearance of cobble and paving stones has been more of a deterrent to the overthrowing of governments than machine guns, tear bombs, and automatic pistols. For it is in the clashes when the government does not want to kill its citizens, but to club, ride down, and beat them into submission with the flat of a saber that a government is overthrown. Any government that uses machine guns once too often on its citizens will fall automatically. Regimes are kept in with the club and the blackjack, not the machine gun or bayonet. And while there were paving stones, there was never an unarmed mob to club. The type of bull the aficionados of bullfighting rather than police fighting would remember is hechicero, whose feats were performed in the ring against trained bullfighters and in the face of punishment. It is the difference between street fights, which are usually infinitely more exciting, portentous, and useful, but out of place here, and the winning of a championship in boxing. Any bull might, on escaping, kill a number of people and smash up much property without taking punishment. But in the confusion and excitement of a bull getting into the grandstand, the people who are in his way are in much less danger than a bullfighter is at the moment of killing. For the bull, when confused and in a mob of people, charges blindly and does not aim his horn strokes. A bull that jumps the barrera, unless he makes the leap while pursuing the man, is not a brave bull. He is a cowardly bull who is simply trying to escape the ring. The really brave bull welcomes the fight, accepts every invitation to fight, does not fight because he is cornered, but because he wants to. And this bravery is measured and can only be measured by the number of times he freely and willingly, without pawing, threatening, or bluffing, accepts combat with the picador, and whether, when the steel point of the pick is sunk in his muscles of neck or shoulder, he insists under the iron and continues his charge after he begins to really receive the punishment until man and horse are thrown. A brave bull is one that, without any hesitation, and in approximately the same part of the ring, will charge the picadors four times, paying no attention to the punishment he receives, and each time charging with the steel in him until he has reversed the rider and horse. It is only by his conduct against the pick that the bravery of a bull can be judged and appreciated, and the bravery of the bull is the primal root of the whole Spanish bullfight. The bravery of a truly brave bull is something unearthly and unbelievable. This bravery is not merely vicious, ill temper, and the panic-bred courage of a cornered animal. The bull is a fighting animal, and where the fighting strain has been kept pure and all cowardice bred out, he becomes often, when not fighting, the quietest and most peaceful acting in repose of any animal. It is not the bulls that are most difficult to handle that make the best fights. The best of all fighting bulls have a quality called nobility by the Spanish, which is the most extraordinary part of the whole business. The bull is a wild animal whose greatest pleasure is combat, and which will accept combat offered to it in any form or will take up anything it believes to be an offer of combat. Yet the very best fighting bulls of all often recognize and know the mayoral, or herder, who is in charge of them on the ranch and on their trip to the ring, and will even allow him to stroke and pat them. I have seen a bull which in the corrals allowed the herder to stroke its nose, curry it like a horse, and even mount on its back, go into the ring without any preliminary excitement or goading, charge the picadors again and again, kill five horses, do its best to kill banderilleros and matador, and be in the ring vicious as a cobra and brave as a charging lioness. Of course, not all bulls are noble. For one that the mayoral can make friends with, there are 50 that will charge even when he is bringing them food if they see any movement which makes them think he is challenging them. Neither are all bulls brave. When they are 2 years old, they are tested for bravery by the breeder, being confronted with a picador on horseback either in a closed corral or on the open range. The year before, they were branded, being thrown by men on horseback who tumble them over with a long blunt pole, and when at 2 years they are tested against the steel-tipped lances of the picadors, they already have their numbers and names, and the breeder makes note of the manifestations of bravery given by each one. Those that are not brave, if the bull breeder is scrupulous, are marked for veal. The others are marked in the book according to their bravery shown, so that when he makes up a corrida of 6 bulls to ship away to some ring, the breeder may dose the quality as he desires. Branding is done as it is on ranches in the cattle-raising country of the American West, except for the precautions necessary for separating the calves from their mothers, the necessity not to injure their horns or eyes, and the complications of the marking. The branding irons are heated in a big fire and consist of the brand of the bull raiser, which is usually a combination of letters or a crest, and 10 irons bearing the numbers 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. The branding irons have a wooden handle, and the points that are in the fire are heated red hot. The calves are in one corral, the fire and the irons in another, the two connected by a swinging door, and when the door is open, the vaqueros drive them, one at a time, into the branding corral, where they are thrown and held. It takes from 4 to 5 men to hold a fighting bull calf still, and they must be careful not to injure the budding horns, for a calf whose horns are injured will never be accepted for a formal bullfight, and the breeder then must sell him for a noviada or defective bullfight, and lose at least 2/3 of his probable value. Also, they must be very careful of their eyes, since a straw in the eye may make a defect of vision that will unfit the bull for the ring. When they are branded, one man holds the head, and the others the legs, body, and tail. The calf's head is usually placed on a sack of straw to protect it as much as possible. The legs are tied together, and the tail pulled forward between the legs. The main brand is placed on the right hind quarters and the numbers along the flank. Both male and female calves are numbered. After the brands are on, the ears are slit or clipped with the sign of the ranch, and the hairs at the end of the tails of the male calves are snipped with scissors so that they will grow out long and silky. Then the calf is released, gets up furious, charges everything and anything it sees, and finally goes out of the open door of the branding corral. The Herradero, or branding day, is the noisiest, dustiest, most confused of all operations in bullfighting. When a Spaniard wishes to describe the utter confusion of a bad bullfight, he compares it to a herradero. The actual testing for bravery, the part of it which takes place in a closed corral, is the quietest of operations. Bulls are tested when they are 2 years old. At a year, they are too young and not powerful enough to stand it, and at 3 years, they are too powerful, too dangerous, and would remember it too well. If they are tested in a closed corral, this will be either square or round, fitted with burladeros, or plank shelters for a few men with capes to stand behind. These are professional fighters or amateurs who have been invited to the testing, being promised the chance of practicing with the female calves, and they take the calves in turn for their workouts. The whole corral is usually about 30 yards across, or half the size of a major bull ring. The 2-year-old bulls are in an adjacent corral and are led into the testing corral one at a time. When they come in, a picador, who wears the leather chaps and short jacket of a bull herder, is waiting for them, holding a long pick about 12 feet long and with a triangular steel point slightly shorter than that used in the actual fight. He places his horse with his back turned toward the gate the young bull has entered by and waits quietly. No one in the corral says a word. And the picador does nothing to excite the bull, for the most important part of the testing is the willingness with which the bull charges without being harassed or annoyed in any way. When the young bull charges, everyone notes his style, whether he charges from a distance, without pawing the ground first, or without any preliminary bawling. When he comes at the horse, whether he keeps his feet well back and thrusts with full power, keeping on pushing to reach the man and animal when the steel goes into his muscle, using the full force of his hind legs and the small of his back, or whether he gets his feet forward and only chops with his neck to try and get rid of the pick, turning quickly and quitting the charge when he is punished. If he does not charge at all, he is, if the owner is scrupulous, certified for castration and the meat market. If he is sentenced to this, the owner calls out buey, or ox, instead of saying toro, which means the bull has been approved for the ring. If the bull knocks over horse and man, and sometimes even at 2 years they are able to, the bullfighters must take him away with their capes, but ordinarily the bulls are not allowed to see the capes at all. When they have charged the picador once, or at most twice, if their style and probable bravery could not be judged in the first charge, the gate to the open range is opened and they are allowed to go free. How they accept this freedom, whether they are eager or reluctant for it, hurrying off or turning at the gate to look back, wanting to charge again, are all valuable indications of how they will act in the ring. Most breeders are reluctant to have the bulls charge more than once. They feel that a bull has only so many picks in him to accept, that if he takes two or three in the testing, that is three less he will take in the ring. And so they put their faith in the lineage of the bulls and do the real testing on those bulls that are to be used at stud and on the cows. They believe that the get of an exceptional bull and really brave females are all proper bulls, and they call every two-year-old toro that is perfect of horn and body without making any practical test of their bravery. Cows, which are to be used for breeding, are sometimes allowed to charge the testing picador as many as 12 or 15 times and are passed with both cape and muleta by the bullfighters to test their charging quality and their aptitude for following the cloth. It is most important that the cows be of great bravery and that they take the cloth well, as these are qualities which they transmit to their offspring. They should be strong, well-built, and sturdy. On the other hand, if they have defects of horn, this is not important, as these are not generally transmittable. A tendency to shorter horns can be transmitted, and breeders who are trying to make their product highly acceptable to bullfighters, so that these will select this breeder's bulls when they have an opportunity in their contracts to specify the bulls to be fought, often try to breed down the length of horn by careful selection, trying to keep the length of horn to the minimum that the government delegates will allow, and breed for a low slanting horn which will pass below the knee when the bull's head is lowered in charging, rather than a high horn that will pass higher and more dangerously as the man goes in to kill. Bulls that are to be used in breeding are tested with greatest rigor. After they have been used for breeding for some years, if they are then sent to the ring, you may always recognize them. They seem to know all about the picadors. They will charge bravely often, but will be able to knock the pick out of a man's hand with their horns, and I have seen one, ignoring pick and horse, reach up and hook the man out of the saddle. If they have too been tested with cape and muleta, they become often absolutely unkillable. And a bullfighter who has signed a contract to kill two new bulls is perfectly within his rights to refuse these bulls or to kill these learned animals in any way that he can. By law, every bull that has appeared in the ring must be killed immediately thereafter to prevent bulls being used more than once. But this law is often broken in the provinces and is always broken in capeas or amateur fights, which have long been forbidden by law. A stud bull that has been thoroughly tested has not the skill of these criminals, but he has been obviously fought before, and any intelligent spectator can see the difference at once. In the testing of bulls, it is important not to confuse the power of the young bull with his bravery. A bull may be strong enough in a single charge, if the pick should slip, to overthrow the rider and mount and make a fine showing, while if the pick should have held firm, he might have been quiet under the punishment, refused to insist, and finally turned his head. Bulls are tested in corrals in Castilla, the country around Salamanca, Navarra, and Extremadura, but in Andalusia they are usually tested in the open range. Those who advocate testing in the open say that the true bravery of a bull can only be shown that way, since in the corral he feels himself cornered, and any cornered animal will fight. In open-range testing, though, the bulls are ridden after until they turn, are toppled by the long poles carried by the horsemen, or are roused in some way before they charge the picador. While in the corral, they are let absolutely alone and are harassed in no way. So the two ways are about equal in advantage. The testing on the open range with a crowd of mounted guests is more picturesque, and the corral method is nearer to approximating the actual conditions of the bullring. All of the operations of bull raising to one who loves bullfighting are of great fascination, and in the testings one has much eating, drinking, companionship, practical joking, bad amateur cape work by the aristocracy, often excellent amateur cape work by the visiting bootblacks who aspire to be matadors, and long days with the smell of cold fall air, of dust and leather and lathered horses, and the big bulls not so far away looking very big in the fields, calm and heavy, and dominating the landscape with their confidence. Fighting bulls are raised in the provinces of Navarra, Burgos, Valencia, Logrono, Zaragoza, Valladolid, Zamora, Segovia, Salamanca, Madrid, Toledo, Albacete, Extremadura, and Andalusia. But the principal regions are Andalusia, Castilla, and Salamanca. The biggest bulls and the best bred come into Andalusia and Castilla, and those which are made nearest to order for the bullfighters from Salamanca. Navarra still raises many bulls, but their caste, type, and bravery have deteriorated greatly in the last 20 years. All brave bulls may be roughly divided into two classes: those that are made, bred, and created for bullfighters, and those that are bred to please their breeders. Salamanca stands at one extreme, and Andalusia at the other.
But you say there is very little conversation in this book. Why isn't there more dialogue? What we want in a book by this citizen is people talking. That is all he knows how to do, and now he doesn't do it. The fellow is no philosopher, no savant, no incompetent zoologist. He drinks too much and cannot punctuate readily, and now he has stopped writing dialogue. Someone ought to put a stop to him. He is bull crazy. Citizen, perhaps you are right. Let us have a little dialogue.
Why do you ask, madam? Is there anything you would like to know about the bulls?
Yes, sir.
What would you like to know? I'll tell you absolutely anything.
It is a difficult thing to ask, sir.
Do not let that trouble you. Talk to me frankly, as you would to your doctor or to another woman. Do not be afraid to ask what you would really like to know.
Sir, I would like to know about their love life.
Madam, you have come to just the man.
Then tell me, sir.
Madam, I will. It is as good a subject as another. It combines popular appeal, a touch of sex, a world of useful information, and it lends itself to dialogue. Madam, their love lives are tremendous.
I had thought as much, sir, but can you not give us some statistics?
Most readily. The little calves are born in the winter months.
It was not of the little calves that we wished most to hear.
But you must be patient, madam. All these things but lead to the little calves, and so indeed they must be taken to start from them too. The little calves are born in 3 months of the winter, and counting backward 9 months on your fingers, as who being married has not counted forward 9 months on their fingers many times, you find that if the calves are born in December, January, and February, the bulls have been let run with the cows during April, May, and June, when, as a fact, they most usually are. In a good ranch, there are from 200 to 400 cows, and for every 50 cows, there is one bull. The usual ranch has 200 cows and 4 seed bulls. These bulls are from 3 to 5 years old and older. When a bull is first turned loose with the cows, no one knows how he will act. Although were a bookmaker present, he would lay you odds that the bull would show enthusiasm for his companions. But sometimes a bull will have nothing to do with them, nor they with him, and they will fight savagely with their horns, making a clatter of horn on horn you can hear across the field. Sometimes such a bull will change his attitude toward one of the cows, but this is rare. At other times, the bulls range quietly with the cows, but will leave them to return to the other bulls, who, being destined for the ring, are never let run with the cows at all. But the ordinary result is that which the bookmaker would lay you odds would occur, and a single bull would do for more than 50 cows, but if there were too many, he would finally weaken and end in impotence.
Are these the facts you care to hear, or do I speak too baldly?
No one could say, sir, you place the facts in any but a straightforward Christian way, and we find them most instructive.
This gratifies me, and I will tell you of an odd occurrence. The bull is polygamous as an animal, but occasionally an individual is found that is monogamous. Sometimes a bull on the range will come to so care for one of the 50 cows that he is with that he will make no case of all the others and will only have to do with her, and she will refuse to leave his side on the range. When this occurs, they take the cow from the herd, and if the bull does not then return to polygamy, he is sent with the other bulls that are for the ring.
I find that a sad story, sir.
Madam, all stories, if continued far enough, end in death, and he is no true storyteller who would keep that from you. Especially do all stories of monogamy end in death, and your man who is monogamous, while he often lives most happily, dies in the most lonely fashion. There is no lonelier man in death, except the suicide, than that man who has lived many years with a good wife and then outlived her. If two people love each other, there can be no happy end to it.
Sir, I do not know what you mean by love. It does not sound well as you say it.
Madam, it is an old word, and each one takes it new and wears it out himself. It is a word that fills with meaning as a bladder with air, and the meaning goes out of it as quickly. It may be punctured as a bladder is punctured and patched and blown up again, and if you have not had it, it does not exist for you. All people talk of it, but those who have had it are all marked by it, and I would not wish to speak of it further, since of all things it is the most ridiculous to talk of, and only fools go through it many times. I would sooner have the pox than to fall in love with another woman, loving the one I have.
What has this to do with the bulls, sir?
Nothing, madam, nothing at all. It is only conversation to give you your money's worth.
I find the subject interesting. What way are people marked who have had this thing, or is that only a way of speaking?
All those who have really experienced it are marked, after it is gone, by a quality of deadness. I say this as a naturalist, not to be romantic.
This does not amuse me.
Nor is it designed to, madam, but only to give you your money's worth.
But often you amuse me very much.
Madam, with a little luck, I will amuse you again.